All right. You ready for today's meal? We are going out of the sheepfold and into the grazing yard to get something to eat. I'm thinking in sheep terms. Well, last week, now how many of you were blessed by the message Dr. Wilson brought last week? I mean, oh my, my, my. And it was wonderful, to say the least. And he did not know what I had taught on the week before. He had no clue. He had no clue. And so I was, you know, when he said, I'm going to speak on something that it's so, you know, it's spoken on so much, you're not, you know, I was like, what is he going to speak on? Then when he said Matthew chapter 6, I about wanted to pass out. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And so when I heard some people go, you know, and I thought, yeah, they're getting it. Amen. Now, why do you suppose the Lord did that? Why do you suppose he did that? Well, because some of us are slow, and we need to hear it more than one time, is what my sister said. And to that I would agree. Well, listen, how many husbands told your wife you loved her 20 years ago and you never told her again? Right? And so things that need to get across need to be repeated. Okay? And they need to come to us again and again for a reason. Now, as I said to the church on Tuesday evening, as we were talking about it, you remember when there's a scriptural pattern for, we got it 1 week and we got it the next week. There's a scriptural pattern and reason for that. You remember when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph said to Pharaoh in Genesis 41 and 25, he said the dreams of Pharaoh are one because God gave him two dreams. He gave it to him twice. But Joseph said through his wisdom that God had given him, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And so what he said was that God gave it to you twice because the thing is definitely established and it's going to come to pass shortly. And so I believe that as we had those, that God gave us those two messages, I believe he's wanting to do something or want to see something done in us. And what we see in the Old Testament, what we saw also in the New, I mentioned in Acts chapter 9, when Peter had not yet gone to the Gentiles, he's still in Joppa, I believe, and he's upstairs praying while they're making lunch. He gets hungry and he falls into a trance and he has a vision. And he sees all these clean and unclean animals and God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, you know, and all these things. And God was opening up the door to the Gentiles. Well, here's the point. The scripture says that God let down this sheet with all these clean and unclean animals in it. And he did it three times, and then it was all caught up back up into heaven. It was surely established, and it was going to happen very quickly. What happened? As soon as Peter comes out of the vision, here's the people sent from Cornelius knocking on the door. Now, I said that to say when you see the scriptures and when you see these reasons why God does what he does them for a reason. And I believe that the overarching emphasis of the messages, that, and we're going to look at it again today. Because I believe God's trying to say something to us as a church. I believe he's trying to communicate something to us as a body. So, if you have a Bible, I have no overhead today. So I encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible, find one, steal somebody's, track it down. No. But, you know, find a Bible in this sanctuary and turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at the sister passage, okay, to Matthew chapter 6. Luke chapter 11. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the reading of your word, the exposition, the study, the preaching, the teaching of your word. Holy Spirit, we ask for your insight and illumination, for your help, for the opening up the eyes of our heart, that we might understand and be changed by the word of God, Lord, as it comes to us right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. It's the only place I think that I can see in Scripture where they were actually taught to pray. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then it stops there. In the Matthew account, he goes into and says, for if you do not forgive everyone his trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. In the Lucan passage, it takes a different turn. He goes on and says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, your Bible may say importunity, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen? All right. Well, let me say this in review of, there were just so many things that Pastor Dr. Wilson said last week. I'm sure that stuck with you. For instance, the thing that he said about the will of God, that in heaven, the moment it becomes his will, it's done. Oh, I never forgot that. In heaven, the moment it's revealed to the inhabitants, the moment it's revealed to the servants in heaven, his will, it's done. And I thought, wow. And then thinking about your own life, that when the will of God is revealed to me, or the revealed will of God as it stands right now, am I living in it? Am I doing it? Am I allowing it to have free course and free reign in my life? He also talked about the Father, and to me, the overarching emphasis of this whole prayer, this whole passage of Scripture, because it starts with the Father and it ends with the Father, is on this relationship with God our Father. When they asked him how to pray, Jesus said, when you pray, say this, our Father. And then at the very last, in verse 13, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father? Prayer is about relationship. First and foremost, prayer is about relationship. For the Christian, it is not about getting as much as it is about relating. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is not as much about getting as it is about relating. We see it in the prayer. Watch this. Our Father, talking about a relationship between a father and his children. Then he goes down further and he says, forgive us our sins. How is your relationship maintained? Because your sins are forgiven. Relationship with God, as we forgive others. Relationship with other people. How do you maintain relationship? You better be in prayer. You know how to maintain relationships? Through prayer. Prayer is not about, now this is gonna take some time. This is one of the things I think God is doing here, because this is going to take time, beloved, because when we go to pray, when the average American Christian goes to pray, we go to pray because we want something, when prayer is about having someone. Really. Read the text. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the, not, Matthew says good things. The Lucan translation says, how much more shall he give the Holy Spirit? We think that prayer is all about getting things, getting what I want, and Dr. Wilson dealt with that last week. But I'm here to reiterate it, because when I look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying, first thing you need to know about prayer is that it's about a relationship with your Father. Again, let me repeat, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Old Testament, did anyone pray to God and address him as Father. This was a brand new thing. This was absolutely unheard of for the people of God to call him Father. Why would they not call him Father? Because they were not his spiritual children. That's why. They hadn't been born again. There was another thing Dr. Wilson said, blew me away. I was like, oh, that's so good. He said, if he's not your Savior, he's not your deliverer, he's not anything to you until he's your Father, for you are born into the kingdom. You are born again. And so first and foremost, he must be your Father. He has to be your Father. And he outlined and talked about how did anyone listen to the sermon again? I got online and I had to listen to it again. I'm like, oh, man, this is just, oh, I just listened to it again. I'm like, this is so rich, because he talked about how our relationship can be off with our Father, and then how Christians can have a wrong relationship with their Father, and you wonder why some Christians in the shape that they're in. Let me tell you something. A father should, you know, these earthly fathers, our heavenly Father, he comes and he puts his arm around you. Why? Well, number one, because he loves us. But number two, you need it. I need it. And all of us earthly fathers can learn something from our heavenly Father. Same thing with being a mother. We can learn some things. And so prayer, first and foremost, is about relationship. Notice that through prayer we maintain our relationship with God, with one another. Prayer is always God first. Prayer is always God first. But beloved, when we go to pray, come on, let me tell you about me, since I can't talk about none of y'all. Let me tell you about me. When most of the time when I get in trouble, now I'm telling you, I'm not thinking about you, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm thinking about me. Is anybody close to that? I mean, you ever had that happen to you? Yeah. When we go to pray, we're not thinking about God and what it is he wants. I'm thinking about, my neck is on the line, God. Help me. I need some help. That's the way we are. But prayer is always God first. Lord, teach us to pray. So they're watching Jesus pray. And when he ceases, one of them had a revelation, illumination, something. Hey, we don't know how to pray. Jesus, you pray all the time. Would you teach us to pray? And so he goes to teach them to pray. And so we look as we go down through the Lord's Prayer, and I love what it says, because it is exactly what you and I need. Now, after it talks, obviously, about your God, your Father who is in heaven, talks about reverence, hallowing the name of the Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done, those things are dealt with. The first four or five lines are all about God. But then he gets, and he says, well, you do get to say something about your earthly needs. Now, this is interesting. God does not give as much space to our earthly needs as we do. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about this for the last 2 weeks. And I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'm talking about when I'm at home. I'm not talking about in the pulpit or preparing for a message. When I'm in prayer, I'm thinking, wait a second, one line, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if we're going to be honest, when we go to God, we talk all about, Lord, I need this, and I want that, and I need this, and I want that. Now, I'm not saying that you don't pray, and you don't get to that. You do. But that's not all of what prayer is about. See? So he says, give us this day our daily bread, our provision, which is the bread, our forgiveness of our sins, the limit of our temptation. And by the way, when it says, lead us not into temptation, you have to remember this. I'm going to jump way ahead in my notes and just say this. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter, James, and John were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, Jesus went away the first time he went to pray. Why? Because Jesus was about to enter into the greatest temptation he had ever experienced. When he came back, the disciples were sleeping. And the scripture says this, but he said to Peter, Peter, sleepest thou? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Rise, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Listen, he said, pray that you would not enter into temptation. God can limit your temptation. God is the one who can limit what you're going to go through. We see it in the book of Job. Satan comes, he mentioned that last week. Satan's walking throughout the earth. Comes to God. God says, have you considered my servant Job? He says, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. Let me at him. Let me at him. And he'll curse you to your face. God says, you can have Adam. And so Satan destroys his children, his family, his wealth. Didn't touch his body yet because God hadn't given him permission. He comes back and asks for permission. Let me touch him. God said, you can touch him, but don't take his life. What did God do? He set a parameter around Satan, and he limited the temptation. That's why in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, where it says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that says that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you're able. God, so when the scripture says, do not lead us into temptation, God's saying, listen, you can pray that the temptation does not overtake you. And that's what Peter, that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. He said, Peter, rise up and pray because you are about to go into temptation, Peter. And he didn't pray. What happened? Peter entered into his temptation and he fell. Weren't you with him? Oh, no, I wasn't. Nowhere near him. Aren't you the one? No, he began to curse, denied Jesus three times. And so this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, beloved, listen, more, just as much as you and I need the bills paid, we need our sins forgiven. Just as much as we, let me branch out into something we want. We want that new car. How the one you doing? How the one you got now doing? Well, you know it shakes, rattles, and rolls when it goes, but it goes. Okay, well, now I'll deal with that a little later. Okay, because I'm not saying God won't give you. He'll definitely give you what you need. I'm not saying He won't always give you what you want. He'll do that too. But again, that's not the ultimate focus of prayer. That's not what Jesus teaches us. So, just as much as we need all those things dealt with, we need to pray that God would limit our temptation. We also need to pray, deliver me, Lord, from the evil one. Deliver me from the evil one, because how many of you know the devil has plans for your life? Amen? Well, all of those things, our provision, our forgiveness, limiting our temptation, and our deliverance depend upon this one relationship with God our Father. Now think about it for a second. Your provision, my provision. And I said in my message a couple of weeks ago that how is it that we think that we can go and provide what God said we should ask Him for? We really think that. How do you know we think that, Pastor? Because we can jump up in the morning. Jump on out the house. Don't spend any time with the Father. Haven't asked Him for anything. And we just go on our merry way. But Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so, who would not endeavor to keep this relationship intact, this relationship that we have with our Father that Jesus is pointing us to? Now, Jesus desired that His disciples would continue in prayer. So He uses an illustration that argues from the lesser to the greater as He goes, as He finishes the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer. He talks about, He goes right into this illustration about a friend. And I want to just work through this real quick. And He said to them in Luke 11:5, and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. All of us have friends, okay? You go to your friend and say, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. What commentators say is the reason why this man is coming to his friend at midnight is because in the east, in the desert heat, travel was very hot during the day, so people would travel in the evening. And so they would stop by, and when they stopped by, you were to be a good host, and you were to take care of them, and you were certainly to put bread before them. But in that day and age, bread was eaten up every day. You went to the market every day because bread would mold and decay and so forth. And so he didn't have anything. It was midnight. Everything is closed. He says to them, a friend of mine has come on his journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, saying, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. They weren't with him in bed in the east. They had pretty much a one-room house, and there was an area set aside in this one room where all the children would sleep on the floor, and they would sleep in one room. And so just to let you know, this isn't an eastern culture, but this isn't a western culture. We live in the west. They live in the east where they all would sleep in one room. So he says, do not trouble me, the door is now shut. Why is that a big deal? Because the door in the Oriental East, the door in the East had latches, had a big old bar going across it. And for him to get up and pull this bar off, they weren't easy to open. To pull this bar, you're gonna wake the entire house. And so the man's legitimately griping and saying, listen, you know, I don't want to do this. The door's shut. It's too much trouble for me. I cannot rise and give you, which is better translated, I will not rise and give you. I say, let me stop there. How many of you know that your friends aren't the same all the time? Now, we all have friends, and we can count on our friends. But how many know your friends are human? And you want to be able to count on a friend, but you can't always. Why? In this particular case, because he's gone to him at a bad time. How many of you have ever called a friend and said, can you help me out with this? And they said, sorry, not right now. It's not a good time. My husband's on the way home. My wife needs this or whatever. And they cannot help. They simply cannot help. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And so what we're going to see in this contrast that Jesus makes between this friend and the father, that it's stark, because he's trying to teach his disciples that when you start to pray, don't give up praying. I asked my family last night, how many of you have ever started praying for something and stopped because you got discouraged? You started praying, but you stopped because you didn't see anything happening, so you just stopped. We've all done that. We've all thought there's something arisen in our heart. We say, I'm going to pray about that, and we go to start praying, and because Jesus is saying the same thing here. He said, when you pray, say this, but then after it, he tags this whole teaching, and he says, listen, I want you to understand something. Don't stop praying. Be persistent. Be importunate. He said, don't keep on praying. Don't give up in your prayer. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, it says this, that he told them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to give up, lose faith, lose heart or faint. That with always, men ought always to pray and not to give in, not to faint, not to lose heart, not to quit. Well, in this particular passage of Scripture, the father is being contrasted with the friend. And so he's laying out, Jesus does, he lays out how this friend is obstinate. This friend is, you know, talk to the hand, I cannot help you. And so what we see is that everyone has a bad time. Everyone has a time when it's not good for them. But we see this friend who has a friend come to him. He comes because he has a request. He has a need. He has nothing to give to this friend. And so he goes to his friend to beg, to beat on his door. This friend doesn't even acknowledge his friendship. He doesn't return the reply, friend. He just says, listen, I don't want to be bothered. He doesn't get up and he doesn't get up and open the door. He doesn't remove the barrier that's between them, which would be the door. He says, my children are with me in bed. In other words, friend, there are other people more important to me than you. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. But this man is saying, my children, my family, and that would be right in a way. That there are other people more important to me, other relationships are more important to me than you. I will not help you right now. Jesus goes on and he says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, for all those other reasons, he will not rise and give him, yet because of his persistence, his importunity, that word means to beset with insistent. Insistence means refuse to yield, to be set with insistent or repeated requests. Entreat pressingly. The word in the Greek actually means, the word importune importunity actually needs to be without shame. So this man who needs these loaves of bread, he's on the outside at midnight banging on his friend's door. Hey, hey, I need some bread. I got a friend. Come on, man, open up this door. This is vernacular. This is for today, okay? So he's out there yelling and screaming without shame, without remorse, insistent. And Jesus said, because he's his friend, the man isn't going to get up and get his bread. So it's not about the heart. It's because this man is insistent. He's persistent. He's not going to leave me alone. And Jesus says, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Well, Jesus takes that friend and he's comparing him to the Father. Not comparing him, but contrasting him with the Father. Because the Father, our Heavenly Father, is not like that friend. Our Heavenly Father is not like that friend. In what ways? Well, you had a friend going to a friend. When you and I go in prayer and say, Our Father, it's a child coming to a parent. Hello? There's a whole lot more relationship. Listen, there's anybody can ask of me anything, but when Justin comes, when Tori comes, everything else is pushed aside. They have front and center. They have my absolute complete attention. The Father is not the friend. And so Jesus said, listen, he's contrasting it and saying that you need to be persistent in your prayers. Why? Because you don't have someone who's pushing you away. You have someone who loves you. Do you know why God answers your prayers? You ought to be persistent because he loves you, not persistent because you think that if I keep going, I'm going to wear him out. And he's going to finally give me what I... No. That's what the friend did. But you don't have to do that with your Father. Jesus is teaching you need to keep coming because you have a loving Father who wants to answer your prayer. But some people say, well, then why doesn't he answer right away? That's a good. Everyone wants to know the answer to that question. When I pray, why does God not answer me? There is a very good answer to that question. And when I find it, I'll let you know. But I can tell you this, because all prayer, I'm going to answer it, at least to my satisfaction, later on. Just hold on. Okay. So the Father is not the friend that he's being contrasted with. The Bible says this in Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Can I tell you this? God the Father thinks about you. Now, I want to make this personal. I didn't say us. I said God the Father thinks about you every moment of the day. All day long, he's thinking about you. That's who we're going to. We're not going to someone who's saying, don't trouble me right now. The door is closed. Number one, there's no barriers between you and the Father. There's no barriers in the world. There are barriers to prayer. Yes, there is. Psalm 66:18 says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We know that that's true, but that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins. You see, it's all about keeping relationship open. And so any barriers that would come between us and our Father is taken care of in the prayer that says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. That Jesus wanted his disciples to continue in prayer, just like I want us to continue in prayer, individual. At home, alone, you and God, me and God. in prayer, addressing the things that Jesus said to for us to address. He thinks about you every moment. And when you get in his presence, it becomes clear. You understand it. You can feel it. I was with him this morning, and it was just, it's like, you can't describe it. You're sitting there with him, and you know, and this is not being selfish, you know he loves you more than anything. You're sitting in his, you're talking to him, and you know, my God, I'm loved. And the tears begin to flow. And you're sitting there saying, how can you love me like this? And his love, this is the thing, his love satisfies your heart like nothing else, nothing else. Satisfaction comes from no other place but then the Father's love for you, his love for me. There's nothing like it. Oh, listen, with God, there's no midnight. There's no bad time. There is midnight. My family weren't in bed. No. There's no bad time. Any time is a good time to pray. Any time. You've heard some people say, you need to pray now. Stay prayed up. So when something come on you, you ain't got to go to pray. And everything. I heard people say that before. I said, you know what? That's hogwash. Listen, when you get in trouble, Jesus said, God, Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Listen, when trouble comes, pray. Hey, holla out. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help. In trouble, where is God? In the trouble with you. Pray, call out, cry out to him. No, any time is a good time to pray. I like this next point. He said, my children are with me in bed. Now, only God can do this. Only God can do this. But when you pray, when I pray, there is no one more important than you. Did you hear? Listen, I'm sitting in prayer this morning. And I'm thinking about, obviously, I've read this scripture over and over again, and I'm thinking about it, but it's ministering to me because Father is letting me know I don't have any other children right now that I'm more concerned with than I'm more concerned. This thing is getting to me. I'm like, he's like, see, that's love talk. Then I don't have anybody else. But listen, only God can do this. But see, when you're sitting in prayer, at the same time, he's telling you, and it's real, and it's factual, there is no one that I'm more concerned with right now than you. There's no one. So we can all sit up here and worship God. We can all be in our prayer closet, and God's saying the same thing. You're the most important one to me. You're the most important. You're the most important. You're the most important. There's no one I'm going to say, there's no one who's calling on me that because of they have my attention that I'm going to say no to you. Doesn't exist in God. All right. And so you come with your need. You come with your request. This friend who had a friend come, he's so much like us because this is what he said. He comes to the friend. He says, I have nothing to set before this man. When you and I go before the Father, we have to realize this. We have nothing to set before the world. We have nothing to give to our neighbor. We have nothing to, listen, I don't have anything to give to you if I don't spend time with him and get something to give to you. If I'm not getting something, I have nothing to give. And so this man says, listen, I have nothing to set before my friend. Would you please, it's my duty, it's Eastern Oriental custom to be a good host to people who come into your home. You must feed them. You can't go give them half a loaf of bread. You got to give them a full loaf. Give me 3 loaves of bread. I need 3 loaves of bread. But when you go to your father, he gives you what you need. not only for you, but for those who are around you. It could have been rude for them to eat all by themselves. You don't set the food down and say, now eat, and stare in the person's face. No, you sit there and you eat with them, you see. And so we have to go to God. Listen, ongoing prayer is a sign of ongoing dependency on an ongoing relationship. Ongoing prayer is a sign of ongoing dependency upon an ongoing relationship. Prayer, dependency, relationship. Now, what does that say about a church of people who don't pray? It says if they lack relationship, they lack dependency upon God. God help us. Acts 2:42, it says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The early church continued in prayers. Again, Luke 18:1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Listen, when you feel like you're ready to give up, you need to pray. You need to pray. I mentioned how Jesus sought for Peter to pray for himself before his trial of temptation came to him, but Peter didn't pray, so he fell. What was the beautiful part of that story? The beautiful part was when Jesus said, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Listen, what Peter wouldn't do for himself, Jesus did for him. What Peter wouldn't do for himself, Jesus did for him. May we be a people who do not neglect prayer. One of the greatest reasons is this. When you pray, you praying for yourself. Hello! Come on! When you pray, you give us this day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Hello? And yet, it's so easy to get up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know, oh, I pray going to work, going down the road. What? Yeah, that's, you can do that. But Jesus didn't pray riding his donkey. You know, come on. He didn't pray. It didn't say, it said while he was praying in a certain place. Mark 1:35, it says, and rising up a great while before the day, Jesus went to a solitary place and there prayed. He went and got alone so he could pray. He didn't pray on the go. Thank you. Now, I'm not condemned. Listen, if that's all the prayer you get, well, you know, that's a starting place. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Because we know that the place, you know, everyone knows this, the place where you will find the greatest distraction in your life is the moment you go to pray. Just set yourself that you're going to pray. When you go to pray, everything comes alive. Every stuff in the room moving. I have to clean up the room before I can't pray in a messy room. I mean, stuff got to be cleaned. You know, put your cell phone in the toilet. Put it somewhere. Listen, turn off the computer. You got to get, why? Because everything's calling you. You see a light. You see something move. Everything. Your mind is going, why? Because the devil doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to know this person intimately, the object of prayer. And that is the Father. The Father. Now, Jesus prayed. We're talking about consistency or persistence in prayer. Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane told his disciples, come pray with me. He didn't go one time. He didn't go two times. Jesus went three times. He said, Father, he asked, he set his petition before God his Father, but he always qualified it. If there isn't any other way for this to happen, then your will be done. When he first prayed, he said, if there's any other way that this cup pass from me, but if I need to drink it, I'll go ahead and do that. Paul was persistent in his praying. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul said this, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. Paul said to the church at Rome, without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. Now, there's a lot of these in the Bible. Now, either Paul was a habitual liar, or Paul was a man of prayer, and he always prayed for the people that he led to Christ. Some that he hadn't even seen, but through his ministry, they came to know Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 16, we do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul saying to the church at Ephesus, I do not cease to give thanks. By the way, thanksgiving is a very important part of prayer. Right? We see that, we'll see that a little later. Philippians 1, 3 through 4, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Paul prayed for, now remember last week, Dr. Wilson said that the first word, our Father, he talked about intercession and how that we ought to pray for one another. We ought to pray for one another. And this is what all these prayers are talking about. Paul's praying for the church at Rome, praying for the church at Ephesus, praying for the church at Philippi, praying for the church at Colossae. For he says in Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul was a man persistent in prayer until he was going to see what God was going to do in the lives of these new Christians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Philemon 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was a man who was persistent in his prayers for other people. We also need to be persistent in our prayers for ourselves. Okay, let me get through the rest of this real quick. Luke chapter 11, now verse 9. Jesus goes on and he says, so I say to you, after he talks about the friend and how that this the one friend through importunity or his persistence, he got exactly what he needed because he wouldn't leave this man alone. Jesus says, is saying your Father is not like that. But he says that through his persistence, he says, having laid that foundation, he says this, so I say to you, ask. The Amplified says, and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. So for those of us who started praying about something and got discouraged and let it go, pick it back up. Pick it back up. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. It's interesting. Jesus used the very three things that the friend did, the persistent man did to his friend. He asked him, give me three loaves of bread. He sought. He was a seeker. He's running back. He's knocking at the door. He knocked at the door. He sought what he wanted. And so Jesus comes to us and he says, ask, seek, and knock, for if you do these things, you're going to receive, you're going to find, and you're going to find things open up to you. Then the last illustration that he gives, he says this, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? So now Jesus goes and he contrasts the earthly father with the heavenly father. I didn't say compare, I said contrast it because there's very little relation for resemblance in terms of his goodness. Amen. For if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Now, what we see here is this is not a free-for-all. Jesus didn't say, come ask for everything and anything. Come seeking everything and anything. No, what we ask for should be in the will of God. What we ask for ought to be in the will of God. Notice in this, in what Jesus is saying about if his son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for egg, will he give him a scorpion? What is the son asking for? He's asking for necessary things. Food. It takes food to live. Now here in America, well, we go out and we do it up. Come on. When the recession hit, one of the things that started happening, one of my restaurants I like to go to, it shut down here in Centerville. Why? Because you don't need that to live. You need your wife or husband, if you're the one, go to the store, put something in the pot, and put something on the table. That's what you need, okay? And so he says, which one of you having a son, if he comes ask for bread, will his father give him a stone? And so he's contrasting this earthly father with the heavenly father, and he says this, if you then being evil compared to God were evil. The psalm says man in his best state is altogether vanity, lighter than vanity, emptiness. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts from your to your children, notice that from the evil comes something good. From the evil comes something good. Because fathers, come on, we have not always disciplined our children right. Mamas, you know when you went off screaming and carrying on, that you know you weren't acting right. You said, Lord Jesus, what took come over me? Well, your humanity. It's your humanity, right? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? And this is where, as I'm praying and just meditating on all this, as I was with him today, I began to see how much more. Listen, it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father? Do you know that in heaven, nothing defiles? There's no sin, there's nothing evil, there's nothing bad. And that's the Father who's going to give to you and me. He's not going to give anything evil. It's not going to be dark. It's not going to be bad. James 1, I believe it's verse 17, says, every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's not dark. It's good. It's good. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to continue to pray. I want you to remain steadfast in prayer. Not because you've got to knock the door down to the good place of God's heart so that he can bless you. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I want you to continue to pray because God loves you and he wants to give to you what is good. Now, let me just read this last verse again. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's an interesting turn. He doesn't say give good gifts. Matthew 7 says he gives good gifts. Luke turns it and he says, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let me rephrase it this way. When we go to God and say, Lord, I don't have any friends. I pray you give me some friends. Well, the scripture says, how much more, the person praying for friends, but the Lord gives them the Holy Spirit. Maybe the answer to us not having any friends is the fact that we aren't kind. And we need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, which is kindness, so that people will stay around us and like us. Hello? And so we go to God and we say, Lord, everyone prayed this one. Lord, I need money. Come on. Well, the Lord gives the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, maybe, couldn't this be that maybe the answer to our prayer for money is the fruit of self-control. That when we go to the store, we don't buy everything up in the place. Come on. We got to have X, Y, Z, and on and on and on. Maybe, just maybe, that when we look at our lives, that the answer that we're really looking for is Christ-likeness through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we get in trouble, and we pray, Lord, help me get out of this trouble. Well, maybe the answer to us getting out of trouble is the fruit of patience and long suffering. So that before we go make that quick decision that's going to get us into all that trouble, if we would just wait on God, if we just be patient, if we just be long suffering, we would see the answer. Now, again, I believe that the greatest gift that we can be given is a person, not a thing. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to the people, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Acts 10:45 says, Peter said to those of the circumcision who believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also. I think a better reason is that, as I'm pondering this and just meditating on it, why would these people are praying and the Holy and God the Father gives the Holy Spirit? You look in the Greek, he didn't make any mistake, it's the Holy Spirit. And this thought began to dangle in my mind. Spiritual children ask for spiritual things. Spiritual children, now I'm not saying we don't need physical things, but he's not our physical father. He's our heavenly father. He's our spiritual father. Listen, as we grow and mature in God, we're going to begin to ask for spiritual things. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit. All right? So we understand, just like we don't live to eat, we eat to live, right? We don't go to God just to get things, just to get stuff. We have stuff so that we can relate to God and other people, right? Spiritual children ask for and receive spiritual things. Ephesians 1, Paul prayed this for the Ephesians church. And as you go through the New Testament, doesn't mean you don't pray. God cares about all the things that you have need of. Jesus said it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. He said, don't worry about all of that. But when you get into the epistles, you very rarely see Paul saying, you know, there's this donkey I'm after. It goes faster than my last donkey. And it doesn't poop as much. It just goes and goes and goes. You won't see that. But you will see a lot of this. Listen, you'll see a lot of this. Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can you touch wisdom? Can you touch knowledge? Can you touch revelation? No. You have a spiritual son praying to a spiritual father for spiritual realities, for spiritual things. He's praying. I'm praying that your heart would be opened up, that you would experience all that God has for you. He goes, that the understanding, that the eyes of your understanding would be open, that you would know the hope of his calling. Paul isn't praying for temporal, tangible things. He's praying for spiritual things, and he's receiving them. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Can you touch love? No, but you can see it. Can you touch discernment? What is he praying for? Is he praying for, well, Lord, I want a bigger building. Now, here's coming from a pastor who needs a building. Hello?
You said, Pastor, does that mean you don't pray for a building? No, we're praying for, yes, we need a place. We love to work, to worship in the morning. And yeah, we love, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that. But what I'm saying is the overarching emphasis of what Jesus is teaching is not that it's these the thing. It's the relationship to our God, that we would know that he gives good things, the best of which is the Holy Spirit. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Beloved, pray about everything. 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 Your heart just turns to Jesus. Every Justin slip while he was shoveling the ice off the stairs. And that's a good way to get hurt. You serving. Bless God, if I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get hurt serving somebody else. Amen. And so I get the call at work, and Justin's hurt. Immediately. I mean, it's like you don't think it. Just immediately, your heart just, you know, it's just, Father. It's just the way it is. That's the way you live. Father. It's just the cry of the heart. Father. It's all submitted to you. Pray about everything that happens. But don't forget this, very important. With thanksgiving. Listen. If you know God is good, if you know he's perfect, if you know he's kind, before you ever even ask anything, you can already be, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I broke out in the face this morning. Didn't know what to do with myself because I just kept seeing him in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his goodness, and the thanksgiving just been flow. Father, thank you. It wouldn't stop because I begin to understand that we're not talking about the friend, we're not talking about the earthly Father. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Matthew 7, give good gifts to those who ask him. So it says, be prayerful about everything. Don't forget to be thankful. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, listen at what you get. I'm telling you what, I'll take the byproducts of the prayer more than the prayer. He said, if you pray, he said, let your requests be made known to God. And this is what God's going to give you. Peace. Can you touch peace? No. Can you put it in a box? No. It's not tangible. But the Bible says if you pray and give your request to God, God's going to give you overwhelming peace that passes all understanding. That's what I want from God. I need that. But listen. If you're in debt, if they're about to come and take your house, you know what you need more than money? You need peace. You need the peace of God to know I'm okay. God's got me taken care of. I don't have to worry about it. But they're about to come to your house. I've prayed about it. God has given me peace. God has given me rest. My child isn't where they ought to be. They're not where I want them to be. But I've prayed about it. God has given me peace. God has given me rest. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. Why did Jesus say to keep praying? Why did he say not to let go? For all these reasons. In the last scripture, Colossians 4 and 2, continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's why when we pray, we can open with thanksgiving and close with thanksgiving. Why? Because the Heavenly Father wants to give us what is good. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, O God, that you are so much more. You so far exceed, O God, any goodness that we've ever known, Lord. And we thank you, O God,
Lord, that your eyes are upon us. We thank you, O God, that you're waiting for us to come to you, O God, that you might release and, Lord, give us that which your heart so longs for us to have. Father, I pray, Lord, that this year we would all, Lord, experience a renewal in our prayer closet, in our private prayer time, oh God. Father, that it would not be a struggle, oh God. Lord, because, Lord, as you open up our eyes to the goodness, to the goodness of God, if we would see, oh God, how good you are and how precious, Lord, we would run to that place to be alone with you. Father, we would grow in knowledge. And in the depth of understanding of the love of God and the cross of Jesus and the residency of the Holy Spirit living within this temporal carnal vessel, oh God, is beyond amazing. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, your desire and your will in bringing us this message, oh God, Father, and Dr. Wilson last week, and Lord, what you're speaking, Lord, may it wrap itself around our hearts and may we be changed forevermore by it, oh God. And we give you thanks, oh God, for the work that's already done, Lord, and that will be accomplished in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.